This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Uman Ezra on the evening edition, 6:40 p.m. And for our next story, we take a look at the UNESCO World Heritage status that has been accorded to Georgetown in Penang. Of course, it's been almost 10 years since that. And there was an article by the Malaysian Insight about, I guess, how the heritage status has benefited a lot of the food stalls and I guess the rich food culture that exists in Penang, but also the challenges that these business owners face as well.
Yeah, so they spoke to hawkers in particular, just because of, I guess, the food culture was is quite important and rich, and it's something that a lot of people go to Penang for. And they gave various examples as to the problems and, I guess, boons that a lot of these hawkers have faced, right? So, you know, there's an interesting hawker located near Chow Rasta, and one of the speciality drinks is a ginger tea, and the stall runs 24 hours a day to cater to all walks of life, right? And the owner of that hawker center, for the hawker stall, for example, has said that the business has already experienced a steady flow of customers, notwithstanding the heritage status of the city. However, his neighbor, who's been selling chuchor udang, prawn fritters, for the past 12 years, has said the business has actually slowed down because his stall has been relocated by the city council.
Right. And these types of relocations are crucial for the respective business owners. And it really sort of affects the experience of those long-time consumers who've known that stall to be in a particular location.
So, you know, to get a UNESCO status, it's not just like an award that people go, hey, you are a heritage city, well done, good job,
pretty
right?
Tough.
No. It's pretty tough. I mean, the application process in itself is very tough to get recognized. What's more, there are all these now, I guess, minimal requirements that you must continue to meet as a city to hold on to that heritage status.
Yeah.
And that costs time, money.
Absolutely.
And disruption as well, because a lot of the, I would suggest, modern amenities that a city gets used to sometimes will have to take the back seat to actually maintaining that heritage status.
That's right. And, you know, you have a lot of these heritage zones where a wide range of food stalls, you know, reside there. And, of course, you know, acknowledging the contribution of this heritage status of the city, a lot of businesses really feel that it's actually been a real boon to their business. But it is also, I think, you know, the crowd swells, for example, during the school holidays, and it creates all sorts of issues of congestion. And a lot of the locals then get a little bit frustrated about the swelling of that particular area.
So there's a key strategy that I think a lot of heritage cities, and so UNESCO awards lots of things, right? So it's not just heritage cities, like World City of Literature, for example, and all of these other titles it bestows on cities. And there's a lot of key strategies that some of these other cities in the world employ, which is to actually cater to exactly what you just said, in that as part of that, they realize there's going to be a problem. The locals are going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
The business operators are going to be annoyed. So how do you actually include this within your planning to actually make sure everyone's happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a key strategic, I think, key strategic pillar, if you will, in trying to have this kind of status.
Well, we have on the line Khoo Salman Nasution, heritage advocate and councillor in the Penang Island City Council. Thank you very much for joining us on the evening edition. And this article on the Malaysian Insight focused on food vendors, but can you give us a wider perspective of how Georgetown has been affected, whether in a good or bad way, since it attained the UNESCO World Heritage status?
I think what UNESCO does, UNESCO listing does, is that it gives Georgetown a lot of attention. It gives Penang a lot of attention. And we can use it, of course, to our benefit. But it doesn't mean that it is always used to our benefit. For example, we don't really have a plan for sustainable tourism. We don't have a plan to say that we will have tourism that does not impact negatively. So, all these tourism stakeholders have to come together and come up with a plan and say that, okay, there are certain things that we allow, there are certain things we encourage, there are certain things we don't encourage. If we do it properly, we can actually harness cultural tourism to, you know, really preserve our buildings and to encourage more meaningful type of tourism that brings people who appreciate our culture but don't have too much negative impact, because, you know, if people are just coming, like, for weekend tourism mass tourism, you know, which brings in big buses that just clogs up our street, I would say that these are negative impacts. So what are we doing with our UNESCO listing? Are we using it in the best way? You know, are we using it to the long-term advantage of the city and its inhabitants? Or are we letting it create chaos and destruction within our city? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves.
So there's the debate on whether making the city into the UNESCO World Heritage List was a blessing or a curse. But as you mentioned, it really comes down to good planning, doesn't it?
Yes. So why we want UNESCO World Heritage Listing is because it should protect the site. This is what the UNESCO listing is supposed to do. In many places, not just in Georgetown, but throughout the world, it actually leads to a rapid increase in tourism, which, if unguided, is the wrong kind of tourism with negative impacts, and it rapidly destroys the site. So this is the irony of UNESCO listing, that it can actually, you know, tourism kills the thing that, you know, what attracted the tourists in the first place. And then your cultural attraction becomes jaded. It becomes, oh, it's no longer the authentic thing because, you know, there are just too many tourists around. We came here to see your local culture, but where is the local culture? And we have seen the mistakes that are done in other tourist destinations. And it seems like we're repeating the same mistake, or we're in danger of repeating the same mistake. So I think a sustainable tourism plan is very, very important for us. And then there has to be strong leadership in this. It has to be involving different stakeholders, and it has to be something that starts from the ground, not just for show. You know, it's very easy to just draw a plan on paper and tell everybody, look, we have got a tourism plan. But then when you come and see things on the ground, and people like us, we're local, you know, we've been watching the Georgetown for many decades, right? So we know exactly what works and what doesn't work.
And I guess the sad thing is that when things don't work well, locals are affected in a negative way. So, for example, locals have to deal with hordes of tourists, which I guess really disrupts their daily lives. And that seems to be a recurring and common complaint.
Okay, let me give you an example, okay? For many years, there was a proliferation of illegal hotels. But actually, we already won. You know, we won. We said that we need some sort of regulation. But it didn't. I think it was only around maybe 3 years ago that everything was reined in, and they said, okay, we have to stop this. And then there's a period of pemutihan. You know, pemutihan, like you cannot make any more illegal hotels, but we will give you a term to comply. So the thing is, in the meantime, many of the tenants were displaced. And also, you know, you have things like party hostels, for example, where, you know, the music goes on until midnight or even past midnight. And then what about the people who have been staying there for a couple of generations, right? They have to put up with this. But, you know, maybe it's just easier for them to leave. So you're actually putting pressure on the local community. And if without this local community, then the UNESCO listing is meaningless because it's just like it becomes just like a theme park.
And, of course, it's unfair to the local residents as well. So do you see a solution to this problem?
To me, the most important thing is to protect the local residents. There should be some zoning where, you know, here, okay, you can have, you know, your bars or whatever, but not in the residential neighborhood. There should be noise controls. There should be, you know, some things that make it possible for people to still continue to live in Georgetown, because that's what we want. We want the local residents. They are part of the community that keeps on, you know, celebrating the festivals. You know, they lead the local way of life and all that. This is part of the intangible heritage of the local community. And that's why one of the reasons why we were listed. So we cannot afford to lose that. And we don't want to be on UNESCO listing just to turn the site over to property speculators and tourism operators. No, we want it because it is our heritage. We want to keep it for, you know, our future generation.
So final question from us. In the case of Georgetown specifically, what else can be done to improve the situation?
In Georgetown's case, I think, there are people who have been speaking out. These are the stakeholders. These are people who have who live here, or they have local businesses, you know, the small businesses and all that. And it's a difficult challenge to, you know, manage a heritage site, you know. But I think this kind of discussion should be made much broader. There should be you know, strong leadership in making this place more livable for local people. I mean, there will be some expats and all that. There will be hotels and all that. But on the whole, you know, the emphasis should be on the local community and local economy so that, you know, the small businesses and all that can also survive. I was making a lot of noise about this, you know, from Penang Heritage Trust. I'm the past president of the Penang Heritage Trust. Now I'm still the vice president. And then now I'm a counselor, right? So as a counselor, I also get an insight into how things are run in the council. I also see the problems that, you know, council faces because, like I said, you know, we have a culture of like non-compliance. So, you know, it's a learning process. We have to take into account the different stakeholders. And I think that there is a lot more that we can do, definitely. There is a lot more.
Kusalma, thank you very much for that. That was Kusalma Nasution, heritage advocate and councillor in the Penang Island City Council, with her thoughts on Georgetown as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Got more coming up on the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.